Well, and that's another good point. People think that if they change partners, that things are going to be better because they think the partner's the problem, right?
Right, and they forget that they're the common denominator, taking themselves to the other situation and relationship, and the similar situations will happen until they go inside and begin to see how are they in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Which leads me to my next question about self-awareness. How important is self-awareness to people before they can change?
It's absolute. You have to have it. You can't. I don't think you can transform until, first of all, you have to be aware, and then secondly, you have to decide that you want it different, and then thirdly, you take the steps to make it different.
Mm-hmm. Is it hard to get to the self-awareness piece? I mean, we're so busy today. People are so busy with their lives, they don't get a chance to sit down and meditate. Of course, some people do, but many people don't. Their minds are preoccupied with taking care of the family, their jobs, noise that's around them all the time, things are always playing. Do we ever get a chance to be quiet and actually do some introspection?
That takes a choice and a commitment also, because people who want to run away from themselves can stay very, very, very busy, focused outside until there's a crisis, which is usually what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So a crisis calls them home, like a divorce or an illness or something like that. And then they have time to think and be still, mm-hmm. and to have some introspection.
So people can avoid this for as long as they want to, I guess.
Yeah, and they might. They might. I get both. I get people who've avoided it until there's a crisis, and I get others who just want to create a lot of abundance and more love and more more peace in their life, and so they come at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, I think, create some kind of a crisis.
It's difficult, though. You know, when you're in an intense relationship, a loving relationship, a family relationship, it's really difficult because the emotions run so high. I think it would be difficult to diffuse something like that. How do you go about doing that?
So exciting. It happens, and it happens real fast. But it does take a commitment. It takes a real commitment before you get into that situation that you're going to make it different.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really say, I'm going to make it different, and I'm going to do these things to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you keep using that word over and over again. That's a word we use a lot in society about commitment, that people are not willing to make commitment. Well, they made a commitment to each other, let's say, when they got into the relationship, but you're saying commitments take on a different form here. They take a form of change, I guess, if things aren't working.
Plus, we grow, and we grow, and we change, and we evolve, and as we change, the situation changes. Also, our perceptions change.
Mm-hmm.
As feelings come up and go, your perceptions change. So it takes a continued commitment and a continued sense of responsibility and action that you're going to create what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can do it in any relationship.
Well, there are people, though, aren't there, Esperanza, who are really just resistant and intransigent? I mean, they don't really want to change. They believe that their answer to life is the only answer, and that anybody else other than their opinion or anybody else's opinion other than theirs is not right. And they're not willing to look in because they keep seeing the other as the problem.
That's true. And these steps wouldn't even work for it because they wouldn't even be interested.
Okay.
So people who want to absolutely have it differently, and they're making a commitment that they want to have it differently.
Okay, so they have to want to be different. They have to come to the realization, first of all, that something's not working and that they have the power to change it, and then also that they have to be willing to change it, I guess.
Yes, they have to have the desire and the commitment, and then take the action.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you sent to me, which I thought was really fascinating, I know we're going to get into the five steps here in a specific way here in a moment, but I thought it was really interesting when you said to me that your goal is to help people create a life that they desire rather than the one that they unconsciously choose. And I'd like to know if it's how do we choose things unconsciously, and if it's unconscious, is it really a choice in a sense?
Well, it's a choice in the sense that you're kind of on automatic. And you're creating the same thing over and over, and the same thing, even though you go from relationship to relationship, you're having a very similar fact pattern because you're taking the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
You're not very aware consciously of what you're doing, but unconsciously in the sense that you haven't spent any time becoming aware of your game and what you're creating. And some people don't. Some people, die that way. They don't get it. But I deal with the ones who really want to make it different, and
mm-hmm.
they want to change it now, and they do.
Do you think most people ever get to the place where they're creating the life that they really desire? I'm not saying that in a negative. I'm just asking you as to whether or not how many people in your experience actually get to that level? Let's say, I'm assuming the people come to talk to you haven't gotten there yet, otherwise they wouldn't be coming to talk to you.
Oh, no, they're coming in. When they first come in, they want to change it, and they want to, they're at different levels when they come in,
mm-hmm.
but many of them will continue to grow, and they will continue to focus on that growth and that evolution, and they may come to some of the higher level programs.
So that unconscious choice that you're talking about, the way we are living in comparison to way to living the life that we would like to live, does that come from family? If you were doing work with members of the same family, would you see the same trait in that family, or is it as individual is it unique as the individual?
It will be different for different people in the same family, but there's a theme that goes through.
Okay. So it's a theme that it runs its course through the family, in a sense, right?
There's a theme that goes through, like a low sense of self, or a father that's very angry and very, you know, condemning, and the kids pick up a total low sense of self-worth, and they carry it into all their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with the people as individuals, but sometimes when the families come, which they do many times, then we deal with the unit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it makes sense, because if you're saying that each person in the unit has to be different from their perspective so that the others can be different, it would make sense, I guess, at times you'd work with more than one person at a time then.
Definitely. We deal with a lot of couples, too.
Is that challenging to do that for you? Is it more difficult to work with more than one person, or is it about the same for you?
It's wonderful when you bring people in that are family or good friends, because you begin to see the pattern, and the friends will make it very clear. And whereas if you get a person independently, you're going to see the pattern eventually in the group anyway. But when they bring friends and family, it comes up very fast and very clear.
Mm-hmm.